How deep is your respect of God? When I say those words, my mind is kind of strange in that immediately a song comes in my mind from the Bee Gees, How Deep Is Your Love? I don't know why that even comes in. But how deep is your love for God? Or better yet, how deep is your respect for him? Is he the Latin term coram Deo? Are you aware of God's presence day to day, moment by moment? Does it affect your life? Or better yet, how does it affect your life?
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. This is Thoroughly Equipped, Drawing Water from the Wells of Salvation, a weekly study of the Bible with Pastor Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. During the next 30 minutes, we'll bring you solid, in-depth biblical teaching from Scripture and provide you training in how you can get the most from personal and family Bible study. We invite you to get a copy of today's teaching outline by logging on to tefaith.org. TEFaith is short for Thoroughly Equipped Faith. Again, that's tefaith.org. Then open your Bible and study along with Pastor Mike. Also, if you'd like to stay up to date on Thoroughly Equipped events, sign up for our periodic email newsletter, Wells of Salvation. You'll get articles, resource information, a note from Pastor Mike, information about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, including our address and service times, and news about any upcoming events. It's very informative. To get our email newsletter, just log on to tefaith.org. That's thoroughlyequippedfaith.org. Now here's Pastor Mike.
Welcome back to Thoroughly Equipped. In studio again is my son, David. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you, sir?
I'm doing well. Oh, I like that sir business. That's cool. So here we are back in the book of Jonah, and we've worked ourselves all the way to verse 10. And now we are coming to the end of this first chapter, possibly. See how well we do. And so, David, if you have your Bible, and for those of you listening in with us, if you will turn in your Bibles with us to Jonah chapter 1, and we will begin reading in verse 10 through the end of the chapter. And so, David, do you want to go ahead and read God's word?
Sure. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why have you done this? For the men knew he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then they said unto him, What shall we do unto you, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea was wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Pick me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea may be calm for you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea was angry and was tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried to the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Very good. Thank you. So we begin with the men. Again, as we talked about last time, we saw the contrast between the profession of fear on the part of Jonah, which was contrary to everything that we had learned about Jonah so far in the account. And on the other hand, we saw these men that are fearing, not just fearing, but a great fear. And so that's where we're picking up again. And as we said before, they interrogate him and they try to understand what is the cause here for the trouble that they're facing, this great trouble, this great, what did you say? I think you called it a hurricane, possibly some kind of great storm.
Yeah, or a typhoon.
Something almost supernatural. I think at least that is what they are expressing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
These are professional sailors, and yet they're in a panic. Mm-hmm. So they are greatly afraid, especially they are greatly afraid because of what Jonah has told them about himself.
Exactly.
And what they have heard has frightened them greatly because it is possibly the cause of their trouble is Jonah. So Jonah is trouble with a capital J. When we stop and we consider what the text says, it also says that he had told them that he was actually trying to run from the presence of the Lord. He was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. So we come now to verse 11, and here we hear their response. And the thing I want to focus in on, notice their response is a response of faith. In other words, Jonah tells them these things, and they don't just say, oh, that's interesting. But
they can't.
They can't. They're invested, if you will. You were going to say?
Yeah, well, they're in a terrible situation. They're about to lose their lives.
Okay, and they've already lost their livelihood by the cargo going mm-hmm. overboard, and the ship is almost ready to go down, and with them with it. And so they are engaged. And so they ask him, and again, who are they talking to? A prophet. Remember, they asked, what's your occupation? And it says that he told them. And so they ask the prophet of God, what are we to do? What are we to do with you? What can we do to get out of this situation? And as we hear that, the one thing that I want to focus in on is notice their faith. Their fear motivates them to respond and to ask, what must we do to be saved? If you want to put it in that kind of language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Jonah says to them, well, actually, they go on to say, for the sea was getting even rougher and even more violent. And Jonah says to them, to pick me up and hurl me. Okay, that's the third time that word is used. God hurled a storm on the sea, and then they hurled the cargo overboard. And now he says for them to lift him up and hurl him into the sea so that it would stop its raging. For he says, I myself know that on my account, this great storm is on you. And so Jonah acknowledges his guilt. Okay. So in a sense, he is exercising faith as well. He understands, he trusts, he says, this is because of me. I understand that it's on my account. He makes, if you will, a public confession of his sin. But his sin is not just a private sin, is it?
No.
When you think about in the Bible, is there any event that occurred prior to Jonah that would be first and foremost in the minds of the original audience concerning this kind of thing? It's on my account that this great calamity, this great problem, this trial, this trouble has come upon us. Can you think of a good illustration of that in the earlier part of the Old Testament?
Okay, well, two that come to mind. One is King David with his sin with Bathsheba. That had consequences not only with himself, but with his sons, especially Absalom taking over the throne. But I think one that I'd like to focus more on is found in Joshua, is the story of Achan. Now, it occurred after the Battle of Jericho, where they marched around the wall 6 days, and the seventh day they marched seven times, and the wall fell down after they cried out with a great cry. And then what happened is they plundered the city, and this fellow Achan took some of the plunder and saved it for himself when God had told Joshua to save all the plunder for the priests, for the tabernacle. And so what happened was is that they went to go capture another town called Ai, but they were defeated. And Joshua said, we got a problem on our hands. Someone has brought this evil upon us. And so, like what the sailors did with Jonah, they cast lots. They went by tribe, then they went by family, and then they went by individual, and then finally a lot fell on Achan. And he confessed his sin and was executed in the process.
So it says in the text that 36 men died in the process of attacking Ai. So the consequences of Achan's sin was the death of probably at least as many or more men than are here on the ship.
On this ship, yeah.
Yeah. And so in many ways, the account of Achan's sin and the effect of it would be something, at least in the mind of the original audience, in many ways, Jonah is like Achan. And the original audience and also these sailors are both aware of that kind of concept that sin has consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just an Old Testament concept or is that found in the whole Bible?
It's found in the whole Bible.
Now, what does it say in Romans? The wages
of sin is death.
Okay. And so the idea of consequences, is that a good thing or a bad thing for us to remember and be aware of that sin has consequences?
Yes, it is very important.
And is it automatic or is it because somebody's involved in making that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the mm-hmm means yes on the second one, right? And so in other words, one of the things that we see in the text is that Jonah does not have that kind of thinking when he runs the opposite direction and brings this trouble upon them. He is trying to avoid or ignore the reality that God is involved and that God is a God of judgment. Yes.
I'd also like to mention that with his suggestion, that is to throw him overboard. And part of it has to do with he's, you know, confessing that he's the problem and it needs to be resolved. The situation needs a solution. But I think he's also trying to further run away from God because he wants himself dead so that the Ninevites aren't given this message from God through him.
So you think he still is having a problem with what God called him to do and he's trying to avoid that calling still. Okay, that's a possibility. The way that Jonah is acting doesn't surprise me if that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ask, what should we do? And he tells them, this is how you can deal with the problem. Judgment must fall upon the one who causes the problem, and that's me. And it says in verse 13 that the men, I think the best way to describe it, the men showed compassion upon Jonah because they rowed hard. Literally, they rowed through in order to reach the dry land. And so they did everything humanly possible to try to save Jonah. But when they realized that they could not, for the sea was getting even more and more tempestuous, that's a word that we don't use too often, that they cry out again. There is this cry of these believers, if you will, these men that are afraid or are by faith understanding that this is all in God's hands. Then they cry out to him, we pray, O Lord. And again, they're not praying to their own gods. They're praying to God, to the Lord, to the sovereign. Please do not let us perish. There's that word again. For this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. And so there we see that fear, again, coming out in that expression. And again, fear and faith, that respect. Remember, mm-hmm. we started the program with the question, how much do you respect God?
Mm-hmm.
We see in our speech a faith in God and a respect of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God as judge. But also, is there an understanding on their part that God is also a merciful God
mm-hmm.
in their prayer?
I think so.
How so?
I don't know, Dad. You tell me.
Well, I would say that it was simply implied by their prayer. In other words, they're crying out for God to show mercy to them, and they even acknowledge, and I still don't totally understand why they would say that this blood is innocent blood when both the sailors and Jonah both acknowledge that he's the guilty party. But I think the best way for me to understand that is the idea we don't want to be innocent. We want to be innocent concerning this situation. This is what you have commanded. This is what you want us to do.
Mm-hmm.
We are simply instruments. We are not doing this because we hate him or we want to destroy him, but simply we are following your command, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the idea we're innocent of this blood. Is what I think they're praying. So they're praying, they're looking for God's mercy, God's compassion, and they've shown compassion to him as much as they can. And so then we find in verse 15, they obey the prophet, they pick up Jonah, and they hurl him into the sea, and the sea ceases from its raging. It stops. And it says again about these men, their reaction is to fear a great fear of the Lord. And so one of the things that we've you note in the passage, first they're afraid, then they're afraid with a great fear, and then the object or the person that they are fearing is the Lord, not mm-hmm. the storm anymore, not the account of what's going on, but the Lord himself. That word fear, in that sense, that respect, has the idea of faith. They believe the Lord. They believe mm-hmm. in the Lord, and they respond. And notice what they do. They do what they can do, and that is they offer sacrifices to the Lord, and they take vows. And so they do what is, they evidence that faith, that respect, that fear of the Lord. So in the account, we find the contrast, if you will, between Jonah and the men. Again, what we saw earlier is Jonah professes to be a God-fearer, but yet his whole life, up in through the account, does not reflect that, mm-hmm. chapter 1. On the other hand, you have these men that are not known as God-fearers, or at least not fearers of Jehovah or of the true God. And yet everything we see, the more we see these men, the more we see their respect, their fear, their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the contrast couldn't be any more opposite, black and white. There's no shades in a sense of gray almost.
No.
So then we see Jonah and we find that he ends up being thrown into the sea. And from all normal accounts, and as far as the sailors are aware, Jonah's dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that someone lives through that. But yet the Lord intervenes, doesn't he? Not only does he intervene in saving the sailors, but also the Lord, verse 17, now the Lord prepared or ordained a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, again, as we think about that, is that a judgment or is that mercy that God causes a fish to swallow him up?
I would say that's mercy.
Primarily, yeah, there's a little bit of judgment there, but it's primarily, it's mercy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he must suffer for 3 days and three nights. It doesn't say that he swallowed him up and then he took him to the shore and then vomited him out. It does say that, but it says that the process took 3 days and three nights. And what we're going to see next time is the prayer of Jonah while in the fish and what God is doing in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be looking at that next time. But again, we see, and I would agree with you, we see the mercy of God in the life of Jonah. So we're talking about compare and contrast. Since we are talking about that, one of the things that is interesting when you do a compare and contrast with not only this account, but with the rest of the Bible, we have another event that occurred with a ship on a sea with a storm and the sailors being overwhelmed by the storm and are afraid that they're going to perish. And in the boat is also someone who's asleep, and they go and they wake that person up and they cry to him and are asking for help or for that person to do something about the situation. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Well, the number one person is Jesus, because okay. He was in that same situation. He was in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and he was fast asleep while the storm came in. And from what I remember reading, it was a great storm, similar to Jonah's situation. So his disciples were greatly afraid, and so they said, Master, get up, that we do not perish.
And it's ludicrous in one sense, because the Lord is there. Of course, they're not going to perish, but they're in their fear. And so the compare and contrast is that, is the cause of the storm Jesus?
No.
But yet, what does Jesus do? He speaks to the storm, and it goes calm, just like here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this account, it's Jonah being thrown into the sea that causes the storm to cease. In the New Testament account, Jesus simply speaks and the storm ceases.
Yeah.
And so the contrast between Jonah, and Jesus is going to pick up that contrast in chapter 2 with the 3 days and the three nights as well. He'll identify himself like Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he's not like Jonah, because he is not the sinner. He is not the one who is causing the problem, but he is the one that comes to the aid of these sailors and saves them by his mere word. Yes?
So to kind of summarize our discussion, you talked earlier about how deep is our respect towards God, you can definitely see the contrast between Jonah and the sailors. Jonah says he respects God, but doesn't. But the sailors respect God, and they're saved, and they offer sacrifices, make vows. And then even in the midst of someone who doesn't respect God, Jonah, God still shows mercy to him.
Very good. Very good.
And that is our study today in the Word of God here on Thoroughly Equipped with Pastor Mike Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. Along with his son, David, Pastor Mike will be back in just a moment with a final thought for the week ahead. First, though, here's a reminder that you can download and print the lesson outline for each week starting on Wednesday by logging on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Follow along with the outline and keep it in a binder for future reference and study. Also, if you'd like to receive our periodic email newsletter that contains articles, upcoming events, and special offers, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, about upcoming events, or about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, log on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. And we thank the members and friends of Rehoboth Reformed Church for their sacrificial giving in order to make this program possible. If you would like to join them in providing this blessing for others by supporting this Bible teaching program, visit our website. Lastly, we invite you to join us for worship and even more study of God's Word every Sunday morning at Rehoboth Reformed Church, located at 501 South Idaho Street, Suite 120 in La Habra, California. For more information or directions, visit our website, tefaith.org, or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. Now, with a final thought for the week, here's Pastor Mike.
Let us close in prayer. Dearest Father in heaven, we do come before you and we give thanks for this day. We give thanks for this passage that you have given to us, this passage in Jonah, showing a contrast between a God-fearer who doesn't fear God and people who were not God-fearers but ended up becoming ones because of the situation they were in. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless us this time and help us to ask ourselves, have we respected you this day? Have we done that which is pleasing to you? And if we have not, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us to show repentance and show faith in knowing that while we are not respecters, we are rebels, that you have shown grace to us, as you have shown grace unto Jonah. Lord, I pray that this would be evident in each of our lives this day. I ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today here on Thoroughly Equipped, Drawing Water from the Wells of Salvation, a weekly verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the Bible with Pastor Michael Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, along with his son David. Next week, we'll continue looking at the Word of God. We hope you'll join us. In the meantime, you can learn more about Thoroughly Equipped by logging on to our website, tefaith.org. And if you'd like to write a note to Pastor Mike, you can email it to pastor@tefaith.org. That's pastor@tefaith.org. Remember, God is your salvation. You can trust Him and not be afraid. The Lord is your strength and your song.